Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Listen now for the word of God. This is about the man with an unclean spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, this sermon is the last in a three-part series that I've been doing on the soul. So today, I ask you, have you ever pondered what the qualities of your soulmate might be? Maybe you have a soulmate. Maybe you were blessed to marry your soulmate. But this is different, more like a friend, like a soul partner that I'm talking about. If you could list the qualities of a soulmate, what would that person possess in their personality or in their being? Think of what you might put on a list of qualities. Loving, generous, compassionate, gracious, merciful, joyful, understanding, spiritual, empathic, honest, authentically divine, maybe, sushi lover, Warriors fan. Each of us might have a different criteria for what qualities our soulmates should possess, or we hope they would possess. But have you ever considered that Jesus qualifies by fulfilling every one of the items on your list? I propose that you consider today how Jesus divinely fulfills the criteria to be a soulmate for each one of us. Now, the first Sunday, I preached about the soul, and I had a handout available for you all that listed a number of Bible passages that talk about the soul. The many passages on the list, and I think there's a few still left here in the Campbell Court, it's on a gold-colored paper. The passages on the list really help you conceptualize what the soul is according to the Bible. And one of the first passages on the soul in the Bible is from Deuteronomy 4. It says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." And then seeking God with your heart and your soul, we know, was made much easier when Jesus came to earth in the flesh. And so the New Testament passages give us even more reflecting on knowing Jesus. People who met him felt he was special right away. But Psalm 62 was kind of giving an anticipation of someone like Jesus coming in the Old Testament. In Psalm 62 it says, "Their souls felt gladness, rejoicing, and securely at rest when they were with him." Now, I imagine when Jesus looked those who followed him straight in the eyes, their hearts melted and their souls exclaimed, "Here is my soulmate." He was magnetic. You can tell that it didn't take much for him to just invite people to follow him, and they did. So what exactly is a soulmate? Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, "A soulmate is a person who is perfectly suited to another in temperament." And then the second definition says, "A person who strongly resembles another in attitudes or beliefs." So you can imagine the people watching Jesus with amazement as he healed the man with the unclean spirit. They were probably all thinking, "I want this guy on my team." All of us yearn for a soulmate or a soul partner. In fact, recent research on longevity finds that to live a long, healthy life, it is essential to have someone who is like a soul partner in your life. Someone you can tell your good thoughts and your crazy thoughts to, and they will not judge you. A person who you can be your authentic self with. That's what makes Jesus the perfect soulmate for each one of us. We can share with Jesus our inner thoughts and feelings, and we won't be negatively judged or rejected. You can talk and walk and pray with Jesus, like in the lovely hymn, I love the hymn, "In the Garden." We often sing it at memorial services. The chorus goes, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." That's what a soulmate does. And remember the passage in Romans that says, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's in Romans 8:39. And then there's another one that says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is John 3:17. Jesus saved the world and continues to save the world by showing us through his healings recorded in scripture and through prayer, how to be the person God meant for us to be in relationship with one another and with God. Sue Monk Kidd wrote a delightful book titled The Secret Life of Bees. Has anyone read The Secret Life of Bees? Yeah, a lot of us have. It was on a bestseller list for a long time. In The Secret Life of Bees, she said this about the soul. She said, "We have this immense interior life inside of us. You can call it the life of the soul. Poets and mystics and people have been trying to figure out what to call this for a long time. But there is an inner silence in it, and there is an incredible mystery floating in it. This is where the divine lives in us." Jesus is your soulmate, living divinely inside you. He is there guiding you silently, helping you navigate the waters of life. He is your rudder and your sail. When you tap into that soul-inspiring energy within, you feel powerful and accomplish more than you thought you were capable of. But when you lose your awareness of God's presence in your soul, you can easily get misdirected and begin to feel badly about yourself. That distracts you from the path of righteousness, as the Bible calls it, which just means a path where you can achieve your highest potential by following the Ten Commandments and living the life God would want you to live, healthy and happy and loving and serving. In John 17, Jesus' prayer to God before he is crucified was a prayer meant for all his followers, including those of us existing today. He prayed about being within us in our soul. He said to God, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Now, in the scripture today, the unclean spirit was aware of Jesus and knew who Jesus was and begged to be left inside the man. But Jesus used his power for healing and wholeness and healed the man of the spirit that tortured him. Now, back in the days when Jesus walked this earth, there was not such a big division as we have now between what people believed spiritually and what they believed intellectually or scientifically about the world. In this era, people hesitate to talk about the spiritual realm in order to be taken seriously. But not Madeleine L'Engle. She wrote many books, but A Wrinkle in Time was the most popular. You probably know Madeleine L'Engle. She vehemently disagrees with that idea. She believes we need to grow spiritually at the same speed and just as deeply as we strive to grow intellectually in order for humanity to survive. L'Engle says, we should not be afraid to let our understanding of God grow along with us. Let us deepen and widen and stretch as we age. This will strengthen us spiritually for the challenges of aging, she says. And Reverend Oswald Chambers agrees with her in a commentary he wrote on 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 17, which says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, Chambers explains this passage by saying, through earth's heartbreaks, sorrows, and grief, the sanctified soul treads calm and unwavering, unafraid even of death itself. That is one of the biggest benefits of being aware that Jesus is your soulmate. When you are ready to pass into the next eternal realm, you will have that peace that surpasses all understanding. You will be able to trust that Jesus is with you and have a sense of peace, a lack of fear, and a readiness in your time of passing. Some amazing near-death experiences do help us get a glimpse of what that presence of peace is like for people, even for some who were not totally prepared to meet Jesus. And I'm kind of fascinated by near-death experiences, so I researched them a lot, starting back when I was in nursing school and we had to read Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and her books about death and dying. She shared a lot of stories about near-death experiences. And then having the privilege of being with people when they are dying or near death, I've actually heard a lot of stories that are similar to what I have read. CNN did a documentary, I don't know if you saw it, I think it was 2 years ago, called To Heaven and Back. And it featured a story by Dr. Mary Neal, an orthopedic surgeon who drowned during a kayaking trip in Chile. She was caught underwater for 15 minutes because she became trapped in stones that were crushing both of her legs. And prior to this, she would call herself spiritual, but not all that religious. And now she is very involved in church and encourages others to trust that Jesus is with them always. Now, I was going to show you a video, but if you go to CNN.com and you look for To Heaven and Back, you can watch both videos that feature her and her telling of her faith now that she has in Jesus, because she is absolutely certain she met Jesus on her way towards that light, on her way to heaven, and then was sent back because she still had more work to do here on earth, including helping her husband deal with cancer and the death of one of her grown sons. It's an amazing story, and she's an orthopedic surgeon who she said, if I had heard someone else tell this story, I never would believe them. But because it happened to her, she really felt called to do this CNN interview, and then she wrote a book called To Heaven and Back. And it's very similar to the neurosurgeon who wrote Proof of Heaven about his time in a coma and what he experienced, and now he's very active in the Episcopal Church because of the experience he had dying and then coming back. That is what it means that Jesus is in you and with you. And we can believe King David when he wrote in the Psalms, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him." And then in Psalm 62, he said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body rests secure." To truly be in touch with your soul and with Jesus who dwells there, give yourself the gift of silence each day. To be aware of his unconditional love, believe God loves you despite all your sins, all your faults, and all your broken parts. The simple message of the Bible is God is love. But that means so much more when you accept that love and incorporate it into your daily life now while you have a chance, while you're still here on earth, striving to follow Christ's example of spreading God's healing love to all. In her commencement speech for her granddaughter's graduation ceremony, Madeline L'Engle said, "We are all suffering from our abuse of our beautiful planet given us to care for. We have polluted air, water, land. The only pollution we can hope to prevent is that within our own spirits," which she's meaning our own souls, "we can prevent hardness and coldness within our own hearts. It was the meanness of spirit, hard hearts, that most troubled Jesus. And we must remember that God has given us a beautiful planet in a beautiful solar system, in a beautiful galaxy, in a beautiful universe. And we human beings were created to be beautiful too, with loving, compassionate hearts." So for many of us, Jesus is not calling us to heaven right away today, probably. We don't know, but probably not. But Jesus is calling us to come home to our souls, where we can tap into his strength and peace deep inside our psyche. We are all created to be loving, generous, merciful, and compassionate. But the world around us can distract us and take us astray off the path that God has laid out for us. Jesus calls us back home, back onto the path, back to his way of living peacefully and in harmony with all of creation. And it is there where we remember to be authentic and loving. When we are in touch with our soul, it is there where our soulmate Jesus reminds us that our purpose is to love God and to help God save our beautiful world, one person at a time. Amen.